Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
China, Shmina.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Yesterday at this time, we were telling you about how the market in Shanghai had plunged almost 7%. European markets followed suit, and Wall Street began the day on shaky legs, too. But then, something happened. Minutes of a meeting by the Federal Reserve earlier this month were released. The note suggested officials still felt pretty confident about the economy. That seemed to be just what the doctor ordered for investors, and Wall Street not only got back up on its feet, but set new records as well. The Dow closed at a record high for the 25th time this year. It rose 111 points to 13,633. The Nasdaq rose 20 points to 2592. And the S&P also had a record close, gaining 12 points to close at 1530. By the way, Shanghai and Asian markets bounced back this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei powered up 287 points. Europe is also trading higher today. The CEO of Northwest Airlines will ring the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange this morning. It'll start the trading day and will also signal Northwest's emergence from 20 months of bankruptcy. The nation's fifth largest airline now has lower expenses, less debt, and a smaller fleet. The new shares value Northwest at nearly $7 billion. And while we're talking about airlines, the French-German plane airmaker Airbus has been struggling lately. Among other things, it had to redesign its more modest jumbo jet, the A350. There were also questions about whether France's new president would even continue to support the troubled state-sponsored company. But yesterday, Airbus got a break, sort of. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Qatar Airways has signed up for 20 A350 planes. The head of the airline joined French President Nicolas Sarkozy to announce the agreement. David Field of Airline Business magazine says the agreement is more symbolic than concrete.
What was announced and signed was a memorandum of agreement, which is a couple of steps short of a memorandum of understanding, which is a couple of steps short of an order.
In other words, no money has changed hands yet. Still, even a handshake deal is good news for Airbus. Qatar Airways is one of the world's most financially stable airlines, not to mention
that the French government is certainly making a continued commitment to Airbus.
Airbus wasn't sure until now that it could count on the new president's support. But even with Sarkozy on board, the company needs to cover a lot more ground to catch up to rival Boeing. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
We all hate junk mail, whether it comes in the mailbox, in front of the house, or on our computer screen. So here's some good news. Authorities say we will see a noticeable drop in spam. That's because one of the world's top 10 spammers has been arrested. Robert Soloway is accused of sending millions of spam emails using zombie computers. They're called zombie because the owner doesn't know their computer is being used. Soloway's website advertised sending 20 million email ads over 15 days for $495. Prosecutors claim he made more than $750,000.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
The CEO of one of the nation's largest power companies has begun lobbying lawmakers for something that's, well, a little unusual given his position. He wants mandatory limits placed on greenhouse gas emissions, which are blamed for global warming. Duke Energy is the third largest emitter of carbon dioxide in the U.S. As part of our series, Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Rizdal asked Duke CEO Jim Rogers why he's looking to Congress for help in changing that.
I want to go back a little earlier in your resume than running a big power company. When you were a younger man, you were a reporter. in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Herald Leader there. And I have a question for you where I want you to put on your reporter hat. If a guy running a big company in Industry X came out and said, I have a plan for regulation for this industry, and I'm going to take it to government and see what they have to say, would your cynicism and questioning antenna go up and say, now, wait a minute, what's he got going on here?
I would probably ask that question, and I would probably say, well, why? What's the advantage to him of moving forward on this rather than laying back and reacting to it, which is a more traditional corporate approach?
Now let's flip-flop and put you in the CEO role and say, why now? Why have you decided, as a guy running Duke Energy, that now's the time to step up on greenhouse gas regulation and on global warming?
Several factors come into play. One is that I've been studying the issue for a number of years. I've watched the science evolve, and relying on the science says that global warming is occurring, and now's the time to start to address it. Secondly, I'm a pragmatist, and I'm in industries one of the most capital-intensive, longest-cycled industries in the U.S., and recognize that it takes decades to really change our industry, to change out our power plants. And the sooner we go to work, the better.
So let's say you could write the regulations, that you could sit down and Jim Rogers, out of your pen, would come the rules and regulations for power industries in this country. What would they be like?
Well, first of all, I would set a long-term objective, like 2050. In other words, recognizing that it took us over 100 years to build up our use of fossil fuel. And then I'd go to work developing milestones. And the milestones I would develop in terms of emission reductions would be tied to what I believe the technology would allow us to do over that period of time. The other thing that I would consider is a nationwide cap and trade approach, because I think most importantly what we need to understand is what the price of carbon is. And once we have a price of carbon, then we can go to work developing the technology that will allow us to provide energy with a minimal carbon footprint.
Jim Rogers is the chairman and CEO of Duke Energy, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mr. Rogers, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
For more on Kai's Talk with Jim Rogers, just visit our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.